And we'll take our first question from Richard Hunter with KRLD Radio.
Yes, hi. This first question is for Jose Aldo. Jose, have you been relatively injury free since the summer cancellation? Was there ever a question of this fight possibly being in danger, or have you 100% recovered since the injury?
Você está sem lesão desde da última luta? Teve algum momento que você achou que essa luta não ia rolar ou está 100% sem lesão?
Não, 100%, né? Eu acho que desde o momento que eu machuquei, desde que eu recuperei, meu, eu sabia que essa luta aconteceria e tinha que acontecer. Acho que esse é o momento agora, não tem como. Está muito bem treinado, está sem lesão nenhuma, graças a Deus. Vamos chegar lá, vamos arrebentar.
Yeah, I'm 100%. Since the last fight, since I got back in it, I've been very... So healed up, so I want this fight to happen. This is when it's going to happen, so I'm 100% right now.
Another question for Jose. Because of some injuries, you've been relatively inactive over the last couple of years, basically one fight per year, and this will have you been out of action for about a year once we see you return. Do you think for the casual UFC fan, for the fan who doesn't buy every pay-per-view, who's maybe newer to the sport, that this is going to be an opportunity for them to get reacquainted with you and be reminded why you're pound for pound one of the best fighters in the UFC?
Você tem demorado para lutar, né? Quase uma vez por ano, assim. Aquele fã casual que não vê todos os peitos e tal, acha que essa luta é uma oportunidade do cara te conhecer, de ver por que você é o número um pound for pound?
Sim, sim. Acho que sim. Acho que geralmente a gente demora a lutar porque só faz grande luta. Então, acho que os fãs já conhecem. Então, essa é mais uma oportunidade que quem não conhece de estar conhecendo agora, a partir dessa luta.
Yeah, for sure. I think the reason that I don't fight as often is because I'm involved in big fights. So, this is another chance for the fans that don't know me to be able to watch and get to know my work.
And a question for Conor McGregor. Conor, this is the second time you've prepared to fight Jose Aldo, but this time around you had the Ultimate Fighting coaching duties to contend with and the usual media obligations. Was there any different approach this time around to preparing for Jose Aldo, or did you just follow the same blueprint you did the first time?
Hey, you know, that Ultimate Fighter experience was absolutely phenomenal for me. It kept my mind on the game. It allowed me to look at different styles of opponent, different mindsets as well, and then map out ways that I could help the contestants win inside there. So it kept my mind sharp. It kept me on the game. Although I took a back step, and it allowed me to be there, but not be there, so to speak. So that was a great experience. And then after that show wrapped, I flew home to beautiful Dublin, Ireland, and I got a phenomenal training camp in. Solid work. Everything has been going smooth. My body is right. My mind is even more solid than it is. And now here we are. I'm on the West Coast right now, bringing my weight down, handling my duties like a professional, like a champion. And that's it. Everything's gone smoothly. I'm ready to go.
A question for Chris Weidman. Chris, speaking of diets, there's been some reports that you've taken a new approach to nutrition, that maybe you're walking around lighter than you have in the past. Can you talk a little bit about how that's affected your preparation, assuming in a positive way?
Yeah, no, I feel better than ever. I just really didn't get out of shape, you know, in between training camps, and it kind of kept myself low. And once I got into training camp, you know, the no IV thing, I just kept coming down and bringing the weight down, obviously being looked after by professionals and making sure I'm doing the right thing. And I've never felt better. So everything's good.
Lastly, for Luke Rockhold. Luke, obviously you're preparing to face one of the more accomplished wrestlers in the UFC. You got one of the most accomplished wrestlers in the UFC in your camp in Daniel Cormier. I know you were an instrumental part of helping him prepare for his title shot against John Jones. I'm assuming he's been an equally instrumental part in this camp for you. And one, has that been the case? And two, how do you think DC is preparing you to face Weidman?
I just got done sparring Daniel Cormier. I've been sparring Kane and Cormier my whole career, basically. So I'm very used to the bigger better wrestlers of obviously the UFC and beyond.
the best guys in the game and much bigger. So I'm used to the pressure, and, you know, I've obviously been there for him, and he didn't be there for me. So I feel great. Wideman's got to think twice if he thinks his reps and he's going to, you know, dictate where this fight takes place, because I deal with that shit every day.
Thanks, Jess.
And we'll take our next question from Aiden O'Donohue with the Irish Sun.
Hi there. I have a question for Jose Aldo. Jose, this is a big fight coming up. It's the main event. Everybody's talking about it, and there'll be lots of people watching. Is this the most important fight of your career?
É uma grande luta. Vai ter muita gente assistindo. É a maior luta da tua carreira?
Para mim, todas as lutas são as maiores. A próxima é a maior. Então, eu estou vendo essa luta agora. Então, essa luta, para mim, é a maior da minha carreira.
I think every fight, the biggest fight in my career, always the next one is the biggest one. So I'm looking at this one as the biggest fight in my career because it's the next one.
Okay, and one more question for Jose. Before you were supposed to fight in July, earlier in the year, you said that you'd make an announcement about your future after fighting Conor McGregor. Do you still plan to make an announcement?
Ele está falando que antes da luta que aconteceu em julho, você disse que ia dar uma declaração sobre o seu futuro depois da luta do McGregor. Vai dar essa declaração?
Acho que agora muitas coisas se passaram já. Agora estou vendo a luta. Estou pensando na luta. Então, depois da luta, a gente pode ver que isso ou não. Mas, por enquanto, não estou nada falando, não. Então, tem que chegar lá e vencer a luta. Isso, para mim, que é mais importante agora.
I think I went through a lot, and right now I'm really focused on the fight and my task at hand. So, after the fight, we can think about it, and we'll see.
Okay, thanks. I have a question for Conor McGregor as well. Conor, you saw Jose Aldo up close when he beat Chad Mendes in Brazil last year. Did watching the fight in person give you a better idea of what to expect from him?
I tell you what, I looked at that fight ringside and thought to myself, wow, this Chad Mendes guy, he hits like an animal. He's a dangerous, dangerous man. And then I went in myself and realized he hits like a bitch. And if anything, it showed me that these people aren't on my level.
Okay, and one more question for Conor. You've spoken about how you went through a lot during the camp training for the Mendes fight. For this camp, you spent the majority of the time in Ireland. Has there been a big difference between those two camps for you?
Yeah, 100%. My best work is always done at home. I'm a homeboy. I love my country very much. The air in Ireland is absolutely beautiful. That last fight I prepared in the desert air. This one I prepared in the beautiful fresh air of Dublin. We've got good air, good food, good grass, good everything. My body has responded well. I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm gonna go in and perform.
Okay. Thanks very much.
And we'll take our next question from Neil Davidson with the Canadian Press.
Yes, thank you. My question is for Conor. Conor, you clearly like the spotlight, and you seem to realize that the attention helps, and winning helps your bank account. I'm wondering if your celebrity ever, at any time, is ever unwelcome. Do you wish that? Are you able to have a private life? Have things changed drastically? I would imagine since you won the interim title.
Yeah, you know, things change all the time, so it's just another, this is the life I've created, the life I've built, and I love this life. I don't really get caught up too much in it. I have been in the spotlight for a long time now. I feel I'm a veteran at it, and I get better at dealing with it, and how to handle it, so I only grow and I only evolve, and that's what has happened now. So, although I came home with a belt, even before I signed with the UFC, I was a 2-weight world champion. It's just familiar for me. Another fight, another KO, and another gold belt. Honey, I'm home.
And if I could have a follow up, I mean, we've seen you in the lead up to the world tour you did with Aldo, you were very much on. Is when you're in the public eye like that, is it kind of Conor McGregor multiplied by 100? We see a persona, more of you, or is that the you?
Mate, you have a very distinctive voice. I've spoke to you many times, and we've had this conversation many times, I feel. There is no persona. There is no act. I'm going in. I'm telling my opponent what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. I'm assessing and dissecting their game, their life, their mental approach. I'm dissecting everything. And that's it. It's no persona. It's no nothing. In that particular time where you're on a world tour or you're doing these press conferences, people asking you questions, I'm simply running with it and telling the truth as to what I believe.
Okay. Thank you, Connor.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Tom Rooney with the Irish Independent.
Questions for Connor. Connor, just when considering this fight from maybe even a bigger picture, both, say, for the UFC and then from yourself, firstly, with the UFC, obviously, there's a lot of talk with, you know, with Ronda's last, maybe with the Sheen gone, that, you know, the breach is there even bigger for you to kind of be the kind of sole breakout star or transcendent, a lot of people call it. Is that something that, first of all, from that point of view, is that something that you consider, that you might be carrying this in even in a more profound way than you thought? And then from your own point of view, if you were to win, you know, the featherweight division is the only division in the UFC that hasn't had more than one champion. And if you were to win, do you believe that then they would be happy for you to then to go straight to lightweight after such a massive shift in the division?
I will KO Jose Aldo and I will face the winner of the lightweight belt, which just takes place a week after, and then I will fight for that. So within the next two fights, I will be a two-way world champion. As far as the Ronda comparison, it's a comparison that I hear a lot, but, you know, if anything, the comparison is just because we are two workhorses. She puts in a hell of a lot of media work, and I've got to put the media work in as well. But in reality, we are two different people. We are on two different paths. So I don't really focus on her situation or anyone else's situation for that matter. I'm just doing what I'm doing, and in what I'm doing, I'm carrying this whole damn game, and I love it. It feels light. The game, I'm carrying it on my shoulders, but it honestly feels light to me. I feel like doing single leg squats with the whole game on my shoulders, because it ain't nothing.
Just lastly, in terms of like goals that you may have set yourself before years back, was. When you were looking to the UFC, was the goal to be the UFC featherweight champion first, or was the goal to be the first guy to beat Jose Aldo?
No, and I tell you why, because winners focus on winning and losers focus on winners. So I'm a winner. I focus on winning. I entered that promotion as a winner, as a two-way world champion, focused on winning. And that's it. The opponent, I always hear that sometimes. You always hear that with people. I've been training for this guy my whole life. How many times you hear that? These
Money.
Contenders coming up. I've seen this guy my whole... When I first started, this guy was the man. And I've been training to prepare to fight him my whole life. And then he goes in and gets his ass handed to him on a plate. Because losers focus on winners. And winners focus on winning. So I came in here looking to win all the belts. Didn't matter who holds them. It doesn't matter who holds them. I hold him. You know what I mean? Jose didn't show up. Jose doesn't show up. It makes no difference. It's still me they're coming to see, because I'm focusing on me and I'm focusing on winning.
Cheers.
And we'll take our next question from Brett Okamoto with ESPN.
Hey guys, thanks to all four for taking the time. This question's for Connor. You know, Connor, before you fought Mendez at 189, you know, the rumors were pretty strong that you had a knee injury, and obviously you weren't going to talk about it prior to the fight, and you didn't really want to talk about it immediately after. But since then, you know, you publicly came out and said that you fought with about an 80% torn ACL. And my question is, you know,
I'm an animal.
Why do that? Why put yourself at the risk, the physical risk, everything?
I tell you why, because I'm a beast. Nothing can break me. Nothing can stop this train from taking over this game. Absolutely nothing. I had a busted up leg, and they knew I had a busted up leg, and they planned to target it. They celebrated that because it happened on the world tour. They knew it. Their whole camp knew it. And they celebrated it and plotted a way to attack it. You know what I mean? He bruised his rib and pulled out of fight. And I still told him when he bruised his rib, I said, show up and I won't target your body. I said that to him. I said, if you show up here, I won't hit you once to the body. I'll hit you clean in the face. And he still didn't show up. So I showed up because nothing can break me. No amount of adversity I cannot conquer. And that's it. My mind is strong, stronger than anything. And that's it. I went in with complete belief that my shots would land. I have so many shots in my book that although I had to put a few shots into my back pocket because my movement was limited, I could pull out a couple more out of my other pocket because that's how many damn shots I have in my book. I could write a trilogy on that fucking skill.
You know, and obviously you're going to make your own decision and you have a lot of confidence in yourself, clearly. Was there anybody, whether it was a member of your team, you know, possibly a doctor, anybody who said, you know, this is fine, especially now that Jose's pulled out. Why don't you come off, you know, not risk yourself further injury. We can heal up the ACL and it'll, you know, you won't be putting yourself at risk as much. Mm-hmm. Was there anyone who advised you to not take the fight at 189?
International Fight Week, hell of a world tour. Fans saved their hard-earned money to come fly and see that show. $7 million gate, $50 million pay-per-view. God knows what else in sponsorship and merchandise sales throughout the whole week. If I had to walk from that show, I'd have flushed the company's money down the toilet. I'd have flushed the fans' money down the toilet. I'd have flushed my own money down the toilet. I showed up. I came through for everyone that's put in so much. And that's it. That's why I've done it. You know, I could have walked. And I tell you what, 100% of the roster would have walked. That was supposedly my kryptonite. The American wrestler, oh shit, they've been keeping the cash cow from the American wrestler. They don't want to put him against the American wrestler. He's a cash cow. I want to save him. They gave me him on 3 weeks' notice. 3 weeks' notice, they gave me the hardest test of my career. And I still took it. You know what I mean? So that's it. I came through. I showed up. People put in a lot to come to the event, to create the event. And I'm extremely grateful for that. And I show up and fall. Jose pulled with a bruise. And not even an apology to the fans, let alone everything else, let alone all the other work that was put in. Not even an apology to the fans. Motherfucker pulls every week.
Thanks, Connor. I have one more question for Luke. Luke, I was speaking to Chris's coach yesterday, and he said one thing that I wanted to get your opinion on, and he believes that Chris has absolutely fought better competition than you. I mean, it's very clear that you have a mutual respect between your camps, but he did feel like that was an advantage that Chris has fought better competition. And, you know, when you were a champion of Strikeforce, you know, you were adamant, you know, that the Strikeforce was as tough as the UFC. I was just wondering, you know, to get a comment from you on how you believe your resume to this point stacks up against Chris.
I'm not really concerned about prior resume. I know exactly who he's fought. We fought the same guy. I know how he fought him, and I know how I fought him. I fought some very, very tough guys in my time. Chris is just about to find out. You know, he's got a lot of holes in his game, and he just hasn't fought anybody that's able to exploit him until now. He's going to fight a guy that's not in a – you know, I'm not going to sit there and cower down and let him control the ring. I'm going to stop him in the middle of the cage. I'm an out.
I can't wait.
Dominant.
I can't wait.
And then.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody on the call. Best of luck.
We'll take our next call from Stephen Morocco with USA Today.
Connor, you were talking a little bit about the run to 189 and the knee issue. And then after the fight, you know, part of your comments were that you thought that facing Aldo at 194 was a little too early, and I'm wondering what was the driving thought behind that statement that you thought it was too early. Was it your knee or was it something else?
Sorry, yeah, hang on. It was nothing to do with me. Ask the question again. I'm some shit going on in this car. Should I ask that question again, please?
So you talked after the fight about fighting Aldo at 194 is being a little too early. And I'm wondering, okay, what was behind that statement? Was it your knee or was it something else?
No, it was certainly nothing got to do with me. It was got to Jose's little weak body. I mean, he banged up his body and he pulled out of contest. I felt it's less than 5 months or something. I felt it might rush him into camp. It might rush him back into heavy training and the same thing might occur. That was a worry for me because I know if an exit presents itself from my friend Jose, he's going to take it. So I thought to myself, let him chill for a little bit. Let him rest up instead of sending him back into camp. I've no doubt he's in that camp with his body sore. And I've no doubt he doesn't want to be there. So I just wanted to prolong it a little bit, let him recover. But
nothing about your knee.
My body is fucking great. I'm swinging them legs like a motherfucker here. So I just wanted to give him a little bit more time. But it seems okay right now. It was probably around this time last time that he pulled out. So I'm still not going to. I might breathe a little easier when he touches U.S. soil. But it seems to have worked out. He seems to be showing up this time, so I'm happy. But that was the reason I said that.
Okay, and then a quick question for Aldo. I just kind of wanted to bounce Connor's statement off him about calling before 189 and saying he wouldn't target your body.
Connor falou que na última luta ele prometeu que se você lutasse ele não ia te atingir no corpo, né? Você tinha ouvido falar disso? O que tu acha disso?
Nada. Tem nem porque ele chegar aqui, mas não chegar perto do meu corpo mesmo, então isso é fato. Não sei se ele perto de nada, ele me acertar. Então, quando você estava bem tranquilo. Acho que não foi isso que chegou lá, que me pediu. A gente tinha outras coisas que a gente tinha que fazer e outros compromissos, né? A luta provavelmente menos. A luta eu vou chegar lá e vou vencer, como eu sempre fiz. Então, quando você está tranquilo. O problema era peso, que eu tinha que tirar e tirar um pouco de peso, então isso estava me atrapalhando. Então, está muito tranquilo.
Yeah, that wasn't even an issue at all. He's not going to be able to find me in there anyway. He's not going to be able to hit me in the body anyway. So that wasn't the issue. The issue for me was mainly the weight cut with the ribs. Being there and winning the fight, I'm going to do regardless. So the issue was really something else and not him hitting me in the body.
He's saying he called you, though. That...
Ele falou que ele te ligou, né? Quem me ligou? O Conor. Pode me ligar para aqui, rapaz? Tá maluco? O cara me viu tomar um susto, pô. E sem contar que ele tava com o joelho ruim também, pô. Pode ficar tranquilo. Que é o meu irmão onde que pega, meu irmão. Bota pra dormir.
He wasn't going to call me. He got scared when he saw me. Why the hell is he going to call me? And, you know, not even needing to say that he's got a bad knee. So don't worry. Wherever I hit, he's going to go to sleep.
And we'll take our next question from Dave Diebert with Pulse Media News.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for the time. A quick one for Connor. You, after your win over Chad, you got a little emotional when you were talking about your family and the support system around you and that it helped get you to there. When you finally did get home to spend a little bit of time back in Ireland, how did you celebrate? And spend some time with your family and with your friends.
I celebrated by eating some good food, by surrounding myself with my people, and just embracing this life that we've built and that we've created.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Sana.
And we'll take our next question from Emma Bramford with Five Rounds with Emma.
Hi, first question to Jose. Being the reigning featherweight champion, undefeated in 10 years and having successful title defenses, come to champion 12, what can we expect to see that will be different from all the other 7 times you have defended your bout, sorry?
A gente já viu você defendendo o cinturão várias vezes, mas o que a gente vai ver diferente nessa tua defesa? Que a gente
mais uma vitória, isso. Não tem nem como que ser diferente, eu acho que eu luto para isso. Para mim, pouco importa como que seja. O importante para mim é chegar lá e vencer e continuar sendo campeão. É, né? Acho que a única diferença agora é que eu sempre lutei contra o americano, né? Agora eu vou bater no irlandês.
There's really no difference. You're going to see me go in there and get the win. And really, I don't really care how I win. I care about winning. Really, the only difference is I always beat Americans, and this time I'm going to beat an Irishman.
Do you feel that Connor has underestimated you in trying to dethrone yourself?
Você acha que ele pode substituir?
Acho que para mim pouco me importa se eu me subestimo ou não. Eu fico focado em mim, penso em mim, treino por mim. Então chega lá dentro, pode ter certeza. Para mim pouco me importa o que ele ou o que os outros pensam. Eu penso em mim. Eu sei que eu vou chegar lá dentro e vou fazer. Eu sei que eu vou vencer.
It really doesn't matter to me if he underestimates me. I train for myself. I fight for myself. So whatever he thinks or anyone else doesn't matter at all to me. I'm going to go in there and win, which is what I always do.
And after the fight itself, win or lose, will you shake Conor's hand afterwards?
E depois da luta, depois de vencer, você vai apertar a mão dele? Para mim, pouco. Penso nisso. Acho que para mim, primeiro passo é um passo cada vez, né? Primeiro tem que vencer a luta. Acho que não vejo problema nenhum. De apertar a mão ou não, acho que lá dentro eu vou estar trabalhando assim como ele e como todo mundo, então um pouco importa, mas aí a gente tem que ver o que vai acontecer na luta.
I see no problem in that. I'm really thinking of the fight right now, but after the fight's over, I see no problem shaking his hand. You know, we're going to have to see how the fight plays out, but I'm going to be there working as well as he's going to be in there working and everyone else is, so I don't see a problem in that.
Okay, same question to Connor, please. Win or lose after the fight, will you shake Jose?
Yeah, I mean, I am always respectful, pre and post. I'll touch the glove before the fight begins. I won't touch the glove when the referee waves us into fight. And then I'll touch the glove after the fight when it's all said and done. This is business. On December 12th, two nations will collide. But peace will be restored through battle.
Now that you've also filmed The Ultimate Fighter, how do you feel you would have done as a participant in the house? And could it have been an option for you at the time? Also, do you feel it would have changed you as a fighter if that was the route that you had taken?
If you walk out your house in the morning and go right and go left, it leads to different paths. So obviously it would have changed me a lot, but I'm extremely grateful with the way I came up. I came up the way I needed to come up. I don't know how I would have fared in there. Being in the situation I was in coaching was a great experience. Being in there fighting, if it had to come to that to get in, I would have done that. But thankfully, I rose up on the domestic scene, took over the European scene, won 2 world titles, built my name, came into the UFC as a prospect, began KOing everyone I faced, and now here I am at the top of the game. So I'm happy with my route.
And training out of SBG in Ireland with such varied athletes for which they all have their great strengths and qualities, and besides your own self-belief and mindset, would you say having the different styles of training partners with the likes of Abby being a baller, heavy hitter, and Gunnar being a technical grappler has helped contribute to how successful you are as an athlete?
Yeah, 100%. At home, every time I go into the gym, there's somebody new. There's a new body. And, you know, the way we train in our gym, when people show up to the gym on day one, they are not taught how to throw a punch. They are not taught how to armbar somebody. They're taught how to train correctly. They're taught how to train to learn. So everyone in that gym that's come up through our philosophies and our approach are good bodies to train with. So the gym right now is full of good, sensible bodies who are aware and who understand how to train correctly and train properly. So every day I walk in that gym, there's so many new bodies, so many new movements, so many people that are good at one thing and maybe are trying to learn another thing. And so every day I go to that gym, there's a new body type, new movement. So that's why when the opponent change happened in July, it made no difference to me because I face a new body every damn day. Every day I face a different body type. So I'm really happy with my training. I always am happy with my training at home. It has been a phenomenal, phenomenal camp. I'm going to go in here and perform and stake my claim as the number one pound-for-pound fighter on the planet.
Next question is for Chris. I know it's been touched on briefly that your lowest weight before a fight already. Is this due to anything in particular, your current training, dieting, the fact of the new ID ban in place?
That was to Chris Weidman. I really didn't hear what
yeah.
you said.
Yes. Sorry. I mentioned briefly about you being at the lowest, your lowest weight prior before a fight. Is this due to anything in particular, like in your current training or dieting, or is it actually due to the new ID ban that's in place?
For me, you're breaking up a little bit, but I know it's about my weight thing. You know, I just wanted to get my weight down. You know, you got the ID ban, and I like to train at the fight weight. You know, the weight I'm going to be fighting at. So that's really what I did. I didn't want to be blown up, and then coming down the last week, and then fighting at a weight that I'm not familiar with and I'm not used to training at. So I just got myself accustomed to a weight that I'm going to be fighting at, and train the whole camp at it pretty much.
And we'll take our next question from Damon Martin with Fox Sports.
Hey, guys. First question is for Connor. Connor, I know you and Ronda Rousey walk different paths and you're different fighters. But, you know, in her last fight, you know, there was so much, you know, leading up to the fight, media and all these different distractions. Kind of a two-part question. How have you avoided those same pitfalls? I mean, was that a cautionary tale, seeing what she went through and then obviously going through the loss? And then how do you handle, you know, really in a lot of ways, you are the person promoting this card the most. Obviously, there's a language barrier with Aldo a little bit, so you have to be the one doing TV appearances and being, you know, doing Jimmy Kimmel Tonight, things like that. So how do you handle all that?
I embrace it. It's part of the game. You know, with Ronda, she does as much. She does even more in reality than me. But I feel maybe there's some other issues. There's personal issues. There was a lot on Ronda's plate, I feel, that one. For me, I just handle my own business. It's part of the game. Right now, tonight, I'm going to head to do the Jimmy Kimmel show. Then after that, I head back to my gym. We do some positional sparring tonight. And carry on. It's business as usual. This is the life I've created, and there's no one better at this. You know, I recently watched Rocky III. If you watch Rocky III at the start of it, he's a mansion, he's like 7 cars, he's got this like little robot that brings him coffee and stuff, and he's doing all these ads and talk shows, and he's getting sloppy and lazy, and then meanwhile Clubber Lang is in a dark alleyway sprinting, throwing shots, visualizing, and I kind of smiled watching that, because I'm like Rocky III in that. I have the big houses, I have the cars, I have the robots bringing me coffee every morning. But then at the same time, I'm also like Clubber Lang, I'm training like Clubber, but I'm living like Rocky. So I think I have a perfect balance right now. Maybe one of my got a little bit too much into the media and with the personal stuff, maybe didn't focus as much as on her training, but in that current time. But for me, I have a perfect balance. I'm living good, and I'm training hard.
And I know, you know, after this fight, obviously your focus is on, you know, December 12th and Jose Aldo, but, you know, we can't ignore the fact that Dana White has said that, you know, you win the title, your first title defense would be in Croke Park in Ireland, you know, 90,000 people. I know you just said you want to fight the winner of Dos Anjos and Cerrone, but I'm curious, you know, if you know, everything goes well and you win this fight, are you okay maybe giving Aldo an immediate rematch in Croke Park? Would that be worth it to you to do an immediate rematch, or how do you feel about that?
You know, we'll have to see how the contest plays out. If he can give me a war and he can earn a rematch, well, then we can do a rematch. But I just don't see him answering the bell for the second round. I just cannot see him. I can't see his face or his body at the beginning of the second round. I see him KO'd inside one. When you KO a man inside one, there's no need for a rematch. So if he can come and if he can bring a war and we can do this and trade for 5 rounds or whatever, then maybe I'll consider a rematch. But I feel he won't get up off the stool and answer that bell for the second round. So
I'm looking to emulate what I achieved in my previous promotion and collect two belts, two different weight divisions, hold them consecutively, defend them consecutively, and carry on.
I am curious, real quick, Connor, one more question for you. The night before your fight, the fight between Frankie Edgar and Chad Mendez, again, we don't know what the future holds in terms of you going to lightweight or all these other things that are out there, but I am curious, do you have a pick in that fight between Mendez and Edgar?
I think they're very similar opponents. I mean, they're wrestling, maybe Frankie, my chain is wrestling a little bit better than Chad, but I feel Chad is a lot more athletic, a lot more powerful. It's an interesting one, but really, we'll see how it plays out. If that can be an exciting fight, well, then maybe that's the one, but I'd like to sit and wait for that and watch that lightweight title fight the following week. And I'm hoping that that's a nice war that gets the fans excited and you can go and collect that second belt. We'll see how it plays out.
Awesome. And one question for Chris Weidman. You know, in the lead up to this fight, Chris, a lot of people, and myself included, believe, you know, Luke Rockhold is the toughest challenge in this division. He's proven it, and we've seen him look better than ever. But you faced, you know, the fighter who is arguably one of the greatest of all time, you know, Anderson Silva, on two occasions and beat him. You fought Lyoto Machida. I mean, do you believe in your mind that Luke Rockhold is the toughest challenge you've ever faced, or, you know, are people overrating him a little bit?
I don't know if he's the toughest challenge I've ever had. Only on December 12th we'll be able to find that out, but he definitely is the toughest test for me at the time, I think, with what we have in the middle of the weight division right now. So I'm taking him very seriously, and this is, for me, I prepare as if it's the toughest guy ever for it every single time, and the biggest fight of my life. So this fight means everything to me, and I take him seriously.
Awesome. Thanks very much, guys.
And we'll take our next question from Gareth A. Davies with London Telegraph.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening to four fantastic fighters. I've got a question for each of you very quickly. First one is to Luke. Good evening, Luke. You gave an interview with me, a very big interview, a long interview a couple of months ago, in which you said, Weidman's a tough guy, but I think I'm faster, more athletic, and do a lot of things better than him. I'm more precise, a smarter fighter. He's a great champion, but it will come down to how we both adjust to facing the best fighter in the world at the middleweight division. How much is about adjustment in this contest going to be who wins it?
Hey, Gareth, how are you doing, my friend?
Hi, Luke. Good to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Adjustment is everything. Adjustment is what fighting's all about. It's about who can make those switches, you know, who's got the A, the B, the C, and the backup plans, because, you know, things don't always work out the way you see them sometimes. For the most part, they do for me. I've seen this fight play out many, many times over the years, and I haven't really had to do too much homework. I adjust well. I stay relaxed. I stay focused. And we've all seen Chris. He gets frustrated when you hit him. When things don't go his way, he sacks up. He fights with his balls. Good for him. You know, it's got him by to a certain point, but it's about to get him in big trouble. So, I mean, he's got his wrestling game plan. He's going to get hit. He'll start to strike. He'll go from A to B. He better have C, D before he realizes he's going to have an F and he's going to fail.
And thank you. And if I could ask Chris, you know, obviously Luke is largely southpaw in stance. He's taller than you. Kind of following up on what Damon Martin was asking just now, in terms of the way we've seen him progress and fight in the last kind of 2 years, really, in the technical things that he has in his skill set, do you not see this as the most difficult defense so far in your career?
In my head, difficult defense, and you know, and all due respect to Luke, but if you were to put on paper, you know, Anderson Silva versus him or Lyoto Machida versus him, just in the striking department, you'd probably say that Anderson Silva and Lyoto Machida have better striking. If you were to put Damian Maia or
or you can throw Vitor Belfort in there, but Damian Maia is, with jiu-jitsu, he's gonna have better jiu-jitsu. So on paper, in every area, and I fought better wrestlers too, with, you know, Mark Munoz. So on paper, if you take out every category, every face category is. But I do believe that Luke is better in the other areas than some of those guys. You know, I think he's more well-rounded. I think he has better wrestling than Machida and better jiu-jitsu than Machida. I think he has better wrestling and jiu-jitsu than Anderson Silva. So he definitely brings a different element to the game that I'm prepared for, and that's different than a lot of guys I've fought. But if you were to break it down one element at a time, I've seen it all.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. The final one for you, Chris, is it hard fighting someone you get on with?
Not really, because I don't look at fighting like I want to hurt Luke. I really don't want him hurt at all, to be honest with you. I don't want anybody really get hurt. But, you know, I spar with some of my best friends, since I got into the sport, and it doesn't slow me down in sparring, you know, trying to just completely dominate them and, break them mentally and physically every single time. It's just competition and I'm just trying to completely break these guys mentally and physically, and that's what I'm going to do on December 12th. So it's nothing personal. Luke is a good dude. We always get along. And I'm sure we're going to get along after the fight. So it just comes down to competition with both two competitive guys that, you know, I think we're the best in the world. And one of us is right. And so we'll see what happens on December 12th.
Thank you. And Mr. McGregor, good evening.
What's up, Gareth? How are you, bud?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Conor, we did an interview a few weeks ago, and I know you've been training in Ireland, and you felt even then that
I heard BT are still celebrating.
We are. Thank you very much. You were brilliant. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
There were a few people thought you might have slapped me for some of my questions, but we know you're a gentleman in that respect. Even then, you were expressing some concern, in a sense, that you felt that there may be a possibility that Jose Aldo may not step into the octagon with you on December the 12th. We're 10 days away now. Do you still have any sense that Jose may not be in the octagon with you on December the 12th?
Like I said, I'll breathe a little bit easier when he touches U.S. soil. It wasn't too long, like the last fight was maybe, it wasn't far off this time that he pulled out last time, so. But I feel we're going to go ahead with it. I hope so. I'll be there. Like I always am.
And I can say if, but you'll say when. When you come home with the belts on December the 13th or December the 14th, how hard will you demand to the UFC that your next fight, your defense, will be in Ireland?
I would love for the Crow Park event to happen. It would be a dream come true. But I respect good, clean business. So we'll discuss post-fight. We'll have post-fight celebrations over a nice whiskey and discussing more big business.
And a final one, Conor. Charlie Hummond this week has said, from, you know, the star of Sons of Anarchy, has said he's a big fan of yours. Would you like to act in action movies going forward?
I'd like to collect in action movies going forward. You know, just the other day we had some like these director guys coming to the house doing some Vin Diesel thing. Hollywood is screaming for me, yeah? So, see what happens in the future.
Thank you. And final question for Jose. Jose, there's the feeling in some quarters that you may be angry inside with Conor McGregor and his pronouncements. Do you feel there's an anger still within you for Conor McGregor? And have you stopped calling him the clown or the joker in your mind?
Tem gente falando que você tem raiva do Conor por dentro. Assim, existe essa raiva? Você ainda está chamando ele de bobo da corte, isso tudo? ou não tem nada disso?
Não, pra mim não tem nada a ver. Eu acho que um cara só tá trabalhando pra mim, tá trazendo dinheiro pra mim, como eu vou ficar com raiva? Tô adorando isso tudo. Eu acho que só foi bem pra categoria. Se tivesse outro desse, pra mim, eu seria ótimo.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, the guy's working for me. He's basically making me money. So how could I be angry at him? You know, I think he did very good for the weight class. So I'm happy with that.
And if he stops calling him the clown or the joker now after what he proved in the summer?
E você parou de chamar de bobo da cor depois que ele fez no verão com o Chad?
Não, para mim continua ainda. Para mim nada mudou. Ah, o cara que está trabalhando bem. Tá trazendo bom dinheiro para mim, então por que eu vou ficar? Ele continua a mesma coisa ainda.
No, nothing's changed. I mean, he's still the joker to me. He's doing a good work. He's bringing me money, but still the same for me.
And a final question for Jose. As Connor said, you know, he said tonight that he thinks you will be there in the octagon in 10 days' time. But can you assure us all and assure all the fans that you will be there in 10 days' time facing Conor McGregor for the undisputed world featherweight title?
O Conor falou que acha que você vai estar lá no dia da luta, que você vai aparecer. Você pode assegurar todo mundo que vai estar lá.
Isso é certo, isso não é certo. E mesmo a morte no futuro. Vou estar lá, com certeza. Mais uma vez e vencendo, como sempre. Isso também é normal.
That's for certain. I will be there. That's more certain than all of our deaths in the future. And I will be there and I will win as usual.
Gentlemen, look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Jim Edwards with Mirror.co.uk.
Yeah, hi, guys. First question for Conor. How's your preparation differed, if at all, from the first bout in July that was scheduled to take place? Obviously, there was a lot of there was a massive media tour, the world tour that you went on, and obviously all the lot of high-profile media obligations, and there hasn't been so many this time around. How's that meant that your camp has differed ahead of this fight coming up in next week?
Yeah, I have certainly reaped the benefits of that. You know, the last camp, I was in Las Vegas preparing. I brought a select group of people that have come up with me to train with. This camp, I could free myself again. I could free my body. I could train with many bodies. So I went home to my beautiful home country, and I reaped the benefits of great, great training. So I am more than prepared for this. This has been the best camp of my life.
Cool, thanks. And next question just for Jose, just a quick one. Obviously, unbeaten in the last 10 years. Obviously, had multiple title defenses, and really up and leading up to this fight, you've been quite disparaging about Conor. Where would you rank him in terms of difficulty in opponent that you've faced in your recent title fights? Is he, you know, is he one of the hardest or one of the easiest you reckon you've faced?
Você está invicto há 10 anos, já defendeu o título várias vezes. Onde você coloca o Conor nos adversários de nível de dificuldade ultimamente?
Ah, para mim, é mais um só. É, não coloco nos top, eu já enfrentei muito top já durante a minha carreira aí. Então, para mim, é mais um adversário que eu tenho que chegar lá e passar por cima.
To me, he's just the same. I fought a lot of the top fighters out there, and to me, he's really just another opponent that I have to go in there and beat.
Yeah, that's it. Cheers, guys.
That concludes the question and answer portion. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Dave Lockett for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank all four fighters for participating in today's conference call. Just a reminder about next week's schedule, which includes three events in as many nights. UFC Fight Night, Nama Yunus versus Van Zandt open workouts are scheduled for next Tuesday, December 8th from 12:30 to 4 p.m. on the MGM Grand Casino floor. UFC 194 and the Ultimate Fighter finale, Ultimate Media Day, will take place Wednesday, December 9th from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in studios A and B at MGM Grand. Also on Wednesday, December 9th, the UFC 194 and the Ultimate Fighter finale press conference will take place from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at MGM Grand Garden Arena. Next Wednesday, we'll conclude with UFC Fight Night weigh-ins from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Thursday, December 10th, activities will kick off from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. with UFC 194 open workouts at MGM Grand Garden Arena, followed by the Ultimate Fighter finale weigh-ins from 1 to 2:30 p.m. in the same location. Thursday concludes with UFC Fight Night, Nama Yunus versus Van Zandt at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, with first bout beginning at 3:45 p.m. Friday, December 11th, UFC 194 weigh-ins will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at MGM Grand Garden Arena. The Ultimate Fighter finale, Edgar versus Mendes, takes place Friday, December 11th at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. The first bout begins at 4:30 p.m. Our unprecedented week of events concludes Saturday, December 12th with UFC 194 Aldo versus McGregor at MGM Grand Garden Arena, and the first bout will begin at 3:30 p.m. All times are Pacific time. I would like to thank everyone again for participating in today's conference call and look forward to seeing everybody in Las Vegas next week.